Is the next X-Men shooting soon? Do we have a ton of awesome concept art for Thor? And did Guardians of the Galaxy 2 get a perfect 100 score? Find out here on Marvel Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Excelsior to you, our merry Marvelites. Welcome back to our 118th show.
Ooh.
That is a big number. I feel older having said that number.
Well, you are.
I mean, I am technically.
And now you're older.
That has... it's happening.
This is science.
It's just going and going. But we have a lot of little news, some exciting little stuff, and Legion dropped.
Yes.
And we have to talk about the glory that is Legion. I'm joined, as always, by the ever-lovely Markia McCarty.
Hey. Oh, I'm glad to be here. This is a really fun day. Happy Valentine's Day, y'all.
You too.
Yeah, and to y'all out
That's
there.
That's why
Mary
Matt
Marvelous.
Isn't here. It's his first... Valentine's Day is a married man. He's betrothing.
Yeah. But from here on out, we get him back.
We do. We'll get him back. Where can they find you on the internets?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Markia McCarty. That's MarkiaMccarty, or Snapchat at Darth Thin Mints. Darth is Invader, Thin Mints as in Girl Scout cookies, which are on sale now.
Oh, it's true.
They are.
It's upon us.
Ooh.
Fat season.
Ooh. I've already had 2 bites.
Hey, I'm Alan Kistler. You can find me online on Twitter at Sizzler Kistler, SizzlerKistler. And the podcast Crazy Sexy Geeks has started up again, so you can find it on iTunes or SoundCloud.
Alan is a frequent contributor to the show and one of the most knowledgeable comic fans I've ever met, which is saying quite a bit, because I try to make that my thing.
It's like encyclopedia.
It's like deep knowledge. It's the stuff I'm like, someone knows that. Alan knows that. It's that one like deep cut I need. Like, how? What? Why?
He's got like categories in there.
Yeah, I don't get it.
And a search function.
Beautiful thing. I'm really jealous of your Google brain. So you can subscribe to us on iTunes at YouTube. That's not how iTunes works. You can subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News. You can find us on YouTube at YouTube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. You can find us on the Popcorn Talk website, PopcornTalkNetwork.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN or at the Popcorn Talk. And you can also find us on Facebook, though we don't use it as much, at Facebook.com/Marvel News Show. And if you link out a link to our show whilst we are live, Ant Manthony in the booth will retweet you. Now, we used to have a lovely gentleman named Doom. He is no longer the man running things, but he does have his very important Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. minute, which we'll get to later, because that man loves Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as much as I love Spider-Man, which I respect and love him for. So, we're going to get on to the news. We've got some quick bits at the top. The first bit of news is that Sophie Turner let the cat out of the bag in a very strange way while referencing Game of Thrones, that apparently X-Men is shooting soon. She said, quote, "We're about to start shooting the next X-Men." She told, "Hey, you guys, we just finished shooting season 7 of Game of Thrones. We've got a couple movies to do before X-Men starts, and then we go on to season 8. I mean, that's about as casual as it gets.
Yeah. I don't think she realizes how rabid the comic book world is.
I'm going to the office on Monday, and then I'm going to do a full week, and then I might hang out on the weekend. I don't know. We'll see, guys.
X-Men's
we'll see
there.
You guys.
Maybe X-Men Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like
she has no idea. We benefit.
We certainly do. And Game of Thrones benefits because they know what's going on there a little bit more. I mean, good for her for having multiple movies to shoot. I personally didn't think the next X-Men with that lineup was happening. I just thought it had fallen by the wayside. I thought all these rumors were just that. I guess this is about as confirmed as it gets.
So are they doing 1993 since...
God, I hope so.
1983 was the last movie, and 1973 was the previous, and 1963 was the previous. And
I guess they'd have to.
And then they'll finally bring up, like, Beast, you're not aging, and this is weird.
None of you are aging. Look at you, 5 years older, 10 years older.
Yeah, Wolverine is no longer unique. None of you guys and gals are aging.
How do you guys all have a healing factor? I have a lot of questions. What's going on with your
faces? When there was that joke throwaway line to Moira, it's like, oh, she hasn't aged a day. She looks fantastic. Like, Charles, have you seen Alex? Alex was like 20
He's
in 1963.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here?
He and
Charles.
Warren came back younger. What is
Charles?
They'll maybe touch on that. They'll maybe touch on the fact that they left the mall and didn't have a single scene in the X-Men. I'm still hurt about the mall to this day, about the apocalypse scene they shot at the mall, never showed. It wasn't in the final cut.
Oh, that one. Because isn't that a whole different movie in that small rat meets some X-Men?
That's
and can
what
I say.
Wanted.
I think for consistency's sake, which they're not very consistent.
Nope.
It has to be 93.
It has to be.
It has to be.
That's the X-Men we know, the X-Men we love.
Yeah.
It's Jim Lee's X-Men.
If it is 1993, You got to have the cartoon theme song.
Oh, of course.
You got to start with the cart.
They all
got to
run at each other.
They all got to run at each other. We all got to make up our own lyrics like we did in the 90s and sing along.
Mine changed every week, but every week they were great.
Yeah. Now here comes Wolverine.
And there's the juggernaut.
Yeah.
Like, it's got to happen, you guys. So that is basically our X-Men news. We've been hearing little snippets about Supernova. Now it sounds like it's even further along than we thought, as there is a tentative shoot date known only to the cast and maybe the cast of Game of Thrones.
X-Men Supernova just sounds like a musical to me, and I'm going to be deeply disappointed when Dazzler doesn't show up. And it's not a musical.
Did you see the Super Bowl? Like, Dazzler showed up at halftime. I mean, fantastic.
Yeah, she was flying.
That's not my Dazzler.
Oh, man.
She was like this.
The whole time, I was like, they did it.
Yeah, that was the closest I'm going to get to a Dazzler movie,
probably.
Honestly.
Yeah. So that's happening with Supernova. We're going to move on to New Mutants. Another random kind of hint at that seems bigger than it should have been released.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like Maisie Williams, also of Game of Thrones, is Wolfsbane.
Yeah, remember we talked about that a few episodes ago.
A year ago.
Yeah.
Because that concept art came out, they had hinted at it. But we have now a tweet from the director with Wolfsbane by Midworld's very own, and then an artist, and then at Maisie Williams in a picture. So, yeah. I mean, this is literally concept art tweeted by the director.
Yeah, the picture looks like a Wolfsbane leaping through. It kind of looks like maybe a cathedral, stained glass
maybe
window.
A church.
Church. Looks very church-like.
I mean, which would fit into the character, because the character actually feared that she was demonic, that she was this, like, terrible devil-cursed werewolf, because she came from this Christian upbringing.
Yeah, so she's getting the heck out of Dodge in this picture.
So, I mean, that's about as... I mean, it's not confirmation, but it's certainly...
Isn't it?
It's a
Isn't
nod. It? It's a nod. Mackie confirms that Wolfsbane is not only... Man, I'm not here to defend yourself. But, I mean, it's the director. It's the actress we thought it was. It's a lot. I mean, that image says a lot. I think that's what we're going to have going forward. It's also, I mean, Wolfsbane is one of those characters I never thought we'd see live. Like, I never thought we'd get Wolfsbane. I never thought we'd get a New Mutants. I never thought any of this would happen.
Yeah,
so it's pretty exciting.
They're delving deep, and I kind of enjoy it.
I respect the deep cuts.
The B and C's. I'm all about the B and C's.
Yeah, and let's focus on some mutants other than Psyche, Wolverine, and Jean.
Yeah, they've had their just desserts wrong, but they've gotten them.
Right, and let's think about it. He's tired. He just needs to rest for a little bit.
Isn't that all that Logan's about? Logan's just looking for a couch.
Yeah, I mean, that's perfect. Let's keep running to Jack and feel more and more like Logan.
He just needs to find a cabana and have himself
a cigar,
you know,
a lot of beer that
won't
work.
Whiskey sour, because he's being fancy.
Oh, retirement fancy.
Retirement
fancy.
Logan.
Now, we had some pictures of the Defenders we wanted to show you guys, but unfortunately, Getty Images is a very strong force, so I recommend you guys look them up. They're really cool, so you just Google Defenders on the Train. It's basically pictures of Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, and Matt Murdock all riding the train. For me, it's just really cool to see all these characters together. It's like that Avengers moment, but unfortunately, we don't have access to them right now. But you guys have Google, so you have access to them right now.
Yeah, one of my favorites, when you look it up, you'll see Jessica Jones and Luke Cage sitting next to each other on the subway, and she's laughing hilariously at something that he says, and I'm like... This is probably off camera, because I don't know if she laughed that hard. But what if it is on camera?
Just jokes for days.
I know.
Can you
like
believe
that.
How often Iron Fist takes off his shirt? I
what
know.
A silly Sally. I cannot wait for that show. I'm just getting more and more twitchy about the Defenders and Sigourney Weaver's role and everything that might come out of that. There's just a lot of stuff that. I mean, we all but know everything about the Defenders because of everything that's set up, except for the Iron Fist quadrant, but it still feels so new and fresh, because we've never had a long-form, 8-hour TV show about... Like, if Avengers Age of Ultron was 8 hours, I probably would have liked it, because it would have been more of what it... Like,
you could have had a story.
Yeah, it could have been more patient.
There was space in it,
and paced itself along.
It actually could have seemed like an Age of Ultron.
It's some sort of
as opposed
age,
to
a blip of Ultron.
As opposed to a 3-day weekend of Ultron.
Labor Day weekend of Ultron was really rough. I had a hard time. But like, so I'm really excited for the Defenders to have the scope that would be deserving of this super team. So I'm very excited. We have confirmation that is reconfirming what we talked about last week, that the one, the only, the Michael Douglas is back as Dr. Pym in Ant-Man. Now, this is unique in that he is one of the only actors that's not signed on for multiple sequels. Mm-hmm. They couldn't get him to join for, you know, Infinitum like they get all their other actors, because he's Michael frickin' Douglas. But he came back. So that shows how good the script probably is. That shows how much of a time he had working on the first one. That shows how deep pockets are at Marvel. Yeah. It's really cool to see him excited about a project, because he's an actor of quite the caliber. So this gives me credence for how good the script is of Ant-Man without even shooting.
Yeah, and let's be honest. Any actor worth its salt would not say no to Marvel.
To round two.
I mean, yeah. I would take anything.
No, I don't want to be Dr. Prim. I'm good. I'll be over here.
I love that it's Aunt Manthony. That's true. Like there.
And also the tweet was very cute, saying he needs to start growing his goatee out again, which is very endearing. Thank you, Michael Douglas. So that is our confirmation there. Another photo confirmation of the week.
Then real quick, shout out to the chat room. Was it Paul? Oh darn it, I lost it. Paul Grant, Weekend at Ultron's.
Weekend at Ultron's. Yeah. Fantastic. If they just carried around his robot corpse for the weekend,
they're carrying around scary. Ultron 12.
Yeah.
No strings.
We gotta scare the other superheroes, so they just have a dead Ultron with them. So we also have heard, and this is the most exciting news of the week for me, because of how hype I am for this movie, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 got a perfect 100 score at its first test screening. That is no small feat, you guys. There is always something wrong. There's always one person that doesn't like something. There is always, a thing. 100!
Yeah, I'm picturing that after it finished playing, that everybody was sitting there in awe, and then they tore the theater up.
quietly waiting.
Joy riot!
I like this idea. I like this. I imagine that's how Vin Diesel lives every day. So that's very...
Right? Isn't he that tired?
That's how he drives. Man. Yeah. That's how he drives everywhere.
I mean,
he's like, I'm filled with joy!
Fast, furious, chill.
It just becomes a documentary the longer it goes.
Just, I am Groot while ripping up. This to me... Guardians of the Galaxy 2, everything we've seen looks good. Everything we know about it shaped well. Everything we know about the pre-production is smooth, and they gave, James Gunn a little bit more money and a lot more freedom. All of this is indicative of a studio that trusts their director, trusts their actors, and then it looks like it paid off.
Right.
Yes.
The only thing I was worried about... So Guardians 1 was our biggest risk. Guardians 1 was the movie that... I didn't know a lot of the Guardians, and I'm a diehard Marvel guy. It was a movie with a bunch of characters that could seem, if used incorrectly, to be cash grabs. You've got a little raccoon toy, a tree. That is by far the one that I was like, oh, Disney's making sure they get their end of the bargain. It ended up being the weirdest, craziest space opera, the thing that was the most out there. So the sequel could have easily been, we're going to control it now, it did really well, or the way they went, where they're like, no, we trust you, you did it right. The fact that they're getting this
much positivity... And who was at this screening?
I think everybody I know.
Anyone that could have been.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So this is not... Because someone in the chat room brought up, BVS got a standing ovation at Warner Brothers. But that's at Warner Brothers.
Yeah, those are people...
Yeah, those are employees of the studio. This screening was not employees of the studio.
Right, it wasn't a bunch of people that worked on the movie or people that had to tell their friend how good of a job they did.
Right, exactly.
This was people that just enjoyed the heck out of the movie.
Right.
And I'm just really glad, because that means we can get weirder. That was the thesis there. It allows us, now that they've been reimbursed, so to speak, with these positivity and the money that it's going to get, they can keep going with Guardians, keep having it weird and separate, and that fills me with such joy.
Yeah. A raccoon that can be Q for a snarky bunch of space pirates. We have that.
I was just saying, that was why I loved the comic, because I was just... when Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning made the Guardians of the Galaxy, the version that became the movie, I just thought, this is so great, because these are all weird as hell characters that have only had sporadic appearances over the decades. You can do anything you want with them. You can reinterpret them. You can really mix them up. And you have that great freedom. And on top of that, that lineup, just looking at them, was just telling you, screw you, it's comics. And there's a great thing about that, where it's not worried about, does this seem like a realistic space team?
No,
it doesn't freaking matter.
There's a creature that doesn't understand metaphors.
Yeah.
And it's glorious.
The live chat is saying, is a friends and family screening.
Okay, they are lucky.
They are very lucky. Yeah. So maybe,
but not employees.
Right,
which still makes a big difference.
And perhaps, even if there is a bias, this still gives me a lot of happy zeal. 100 is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, did BVS get 100%? Standing ovation's cool. You can really feel for something, while you're there in the theaters. But 100%.
I think that might have just been a mistaken stretch / yawn.
While talking about the B in BVS, may I just say that Lego Batman is the best thing that's happened so since the
good.
Dark Knight.
So good.
At the Warner Brothers wheelhouse. Mad Max and stuff. But like Batman, it's the best Batman movie I've seen next to Dark Knight. It's transcendent. Cute. It is incredible. Go see it. I've been waiting since doing this show to be this excited about a DC property so I could feel less biased. My God, Lego Batman is so that movie good. For me. I'm going to see it like 8 times. See it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I had the opportunity to see it last night.
Made questionable choices.
But me and my friend were like, you know what? We're going to do anti-Valentine stuff tonight. And we saw Rings. And that was, we chose poorly. No.
Don't see Rings.
Don't see Rings.
Yeah.
Learn from Markia.
Do Redbox for that one.
But it was incredible. It was funny. It was everything the Lego movie was. It had references I didn't expect. It had some funny suicide moments. It was good. So I just wanted to give love to DC in this moment because, man, I loved that movie. Now, on to the thing this week that needs to be said. Legion's incredible.
Oh, yes.
Legion was much more than I expected, and I had really high expectations because X-Men Legacy, the Legion run of X-Men Legacy, which, Alan, you've read, is my favorite X-Men comic in probably the last decade. It is something really special, and it doesn't feel like a Marvel property. It feels like an indie comic, but has Marvel characters in it somehow. Like, they let someone really go with it.
Yeah. Because
real quick, the picture that Aunt Anthony will put up, if it's not already up, this is from Teresa Luz in Portugal. She sent us a picture of Legions everywhere. So this is, I assume this is one of the AR posters that they have where you could do the mobile app and then you could actually see like the trailer when you positioned it. I know they have that here in LA. But yeah, thank you, Teresa, for sending that in.
Yeah, thank you. And I just love seeing that worldwide Legion's out there. We talked about this before the show. Like, Legion was a character that now the world knows Legion. That's such a strange thing.
It is a strange thing. They're just characters where, you know, 10 years ago, we would expect, oh, they might make a movie of this thing, but they would never put this character in. Like, I mean, just some of the fact that Toad even made it into the first X-Men movie. I remember we were like, oh my God, they put in Toad.
They did it.
Oh my God, that guy's, holy crap, this is amazing.
You know what happened to him, right?
You know,
the same thing that happened to everything else.
No. Joss White. I had to take a breather there for a second.
Yeah.
It was an actual emotional pause in the room.
We all felt
PTSD
that.
Just struck.
Yeah.
But the fact that Legion got his own show, immediately was like, really? Like him?
Yeah.
Okay. He sort of had an Arrested Development moment of him.
Why'd you feel that way,
though? Because it was such a weird thing. Like, that's not someone who you can immediately make an action figure or a video game of, you know?
It shows how so it was on the comic property.
It immediately told me, okay, they're trying to do a story.
Because he won't fit in the box.
Well, that too.
There's that.
There's
that
a too. Hat box in the
but
box.
Also, before then, we were his talking hair. About this, like, before X-Men Legacy, really, and maybe even his appearance a little earlier in New Mutants in 2009, his previous stuff, like Legion, was barely a character to me. Legion was more of a story plot.
He was a plot device.
He was a plot device. Yeah, because he showed up here. It's like, hey, there's a dude who's kind of like that person on Doom Patrol, where each personality has a different power. Oh, look, it's crazy. Okay. Not even before then. Before then, they used him for another reboot because he was the impetus for the 90s reboot, where the X-Men team, because half of them had been in Australia, and the world thought they were dead, and half of them were scattered around the world.
Oh, right. Wow, you just hit
and
a
then,
bell.
And then X-Factor had only recently revealed that they were the original X-Men and not these humans hunting mutants. And then you had some other random people around, and Moira MacTaggert had made her own Scotland-based X-Men team with Legion stuff. And then what they did was they were like, guys, we got to get back to basics. So Legion got possessed by the Shadow King around the same time that Xavier, after being gone off of Earth for years, finally came back.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused all the X characters to get together. Legion's been possessed by Shadow King. We got to stop him. Everyone gets together. During the course of the battle, Xavier gets crippled again. And all the X-Men, when the dust settles, the X-Men decide to go back to basics, and from there was the launching point of the new Golden Blue teams.
Right, in the
90s. And Havoc took over X-Factor and reformed it to be with the government, what Freedom Force used to be. So Legion was the impetus to do that reboot, and then a few years later, he was the plot device to use to create the Age of Apocalypse storyline.
Right. So he's clearly not a character that can be quickly popped in without the right writers.
Exactly. And at the end of Age of Apocalypse, some people forget this. He was erased from history.
Right.
He had prevented his own conception.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And
to prevent Age of Apocalypse.
Right. And so right. And they even this confirmed that in Excalibur, because they were like finding spirits of some of his personalities right. in this weird story in like 1999.
The 90s were great, you guys.
The 90s were a hell of a drug.
Yeah, exactly. It's like
12 X-Men titles.
For anyone like, still listening, I will wave my hands when the Legion section is over so you know that you can unmute.
So far, no spoilers, and we will have some.
So he was just this weird thing, and then like he was gone for decades. About 11 years.
Yeah.
Like 11 years. And then New Mutants brought him back like, hey, he's not only still alive.
Unconceived himself.
He's still here. And then they slowly revealed this whole thing of like he had fallen into limbo, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And that led into the X-Men Legacy story, which finally we had a character.
Man, and X-Men Legacy is brilliant.
Yeah, we delved into like what is his experience. Let's not just go, he's nuts. And also because they couldn't decide did he actually have dissociative identity disorder, what we sometimes call multiple personality, or is he just absorbing people who die mm-hmm. around him? And with X-Men Legacy, we finally got into, there are like a couple thousand personalities right. in there.
And him handling those personalities as an enemy, so to speak, an antagonism. And it right. never felt mm-hmm. it never felt bad for the lead. That's what I liked about both the show and the comic, is it never made... It did two things. It never made mental health sexy or made you feel bad about
the person.
He's not glorified.
Yeah, it was actually like an empathic look at it. When you think of, who is the writer? Did you already say the writer?
On the comic?
Simon Spurrier.
Spurrier? Was the comic.
On the Legacy.
And then but there was like Sobieski or something like that. He was the art. Oh, God, I can't do names. Okay, we'll say Spurrier. Okay, Spurrier's a writer. I like a lot of the stuff that he did at that time because it was an empathic approach mm-hmm. to I don't even want to say mental disorder.
Mike DeLundo, are you thinking? Who is artist on Legacy?
Was that it?
He was artist on Legacy.
Okay, but I think the way that it was depicted and the way that the storylines developed and it opened up this whole new world
right.
with things where it wasn't...
it was compassionate throughout, and so was
exactly,
the show.
Exactly. It was relatable in a way that you didn't feel sorry for anybody. It was relatable in the way of, you know what? I feel you because I'm lost. And sometimes I don't know who I am.
And it didn't go the other way either, which a lot of movies and TV shows do, where mental health is suddenly sexy and you're like, yeah. Like, everyone's like...
Or it just becomes this...
Running around, I'm like, that's not... Like, certain movies and TV shows make having a problem into a positive by getting rid of the problem. This kept the problem.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't pretend it wasn't an issue. He struggles.
Yes. Yeah. Like, this is him. This is his journey. This is his trial. And that doesn't mean he's less than anybody else.
Right. And I love that. Because, people need to have a hero they can see eye to eye with. That's why I think it's so important to have all these heroes of all different colors and sexualities and orientations. It's important that someone who has stuff that they can't identify with in their head to have a hero. Like, it's important for someone who has trouble and to have someone that can't quite associate with others to have someone they can associate with on paper. Because they don't have that. And this character really gave them that.
Yeah. And sometimes they go the other way of just like, everyone who gave you either therapy or medication or group therapy, whatever, like was actually wrong. And you were just, you need to spread your wings to fly. It's like, okay, maybe you don't need this medication, and maybe this isn't the right doctor, but you need help.
Right, and not everyone's a bad guy.
And that's fine. It's fine to need help. Everyone needs help.
And the show did that amazing.
All of us need help. All of us should be on therapy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Honestly, yeah.
Especially if you live in Los Angeles. But what I loved about Legion, the show, was that it took a premise that could have been very linear, that could have been very stilted, that could have been very traditional, and it still had a very clean storyline, but it was shot and written so creatively that every moment was more beautiful than the last. That show had, like, in-scene edits. That show had, like, transitions I haven't seen since the 70s. That show had constant color and vibrancy and a dance number. That show was a movie, as a pilot, and usually with pilots, it takes till episode 3 to really care about a character set. Like, you usually have to invest.
The thing that I really love about it is that, you know how with trailers that they're so jam-packed full of stuff that you can do freeze frame throughout? You could do freeze frame for this entire episode. Yeah. I mean, there was one instance where Sid, where she's standing there, she's about to take the pills, like this is the second time around, and it turns out that it's like, okay, 3 pills, and the 3 pills look different, and then there's a number 3 behind her, and then it's like, yeah, and that wasn't there before. You even have to think of the very first scene.
Those edits were beautiful.
It was beautiful. The very first scene where it has welcome in different languages on the wall.
Yeah.
And then you have to wonder, is that really there? Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about the journey that, what's his name? Took us through the director. He's the same one that did Fargo.
Holly.
Neil?
Noah Hawley.
Yeah, I love this journey that he took us in.
And he's brilliant. The writing feels so sharp and pointed and witty and concise.
That's the other thing. Mm-hmm. This show, there is a tendency, and especially if you watch 1980s science fiction films or 1970s science fiction films, it really emphasizes to you how people were not afraid of silence. And directors have become afraid of silence. They've got to, especially TV directors, they've got to fill all that time with dialogue, with snappy patter, with everything. And that can be great, that can be fun, but...
Let's bring back the dramatic pause.
Yeah, this knew when to turn that off. This knew when to say, he doesn't need to say what he's thinking right now, he can act it. Mm-hmm. And we can figure it out because the audience isn't stupid. You know, make them look at the screen and absorb this.
I wasn't on my phone once in that show.
You can't be on your phone during that show.
And most shows I am, I gotta be honest. No, like, sure, the world's out there.
And also, like, it, and that opening scene with the wheel come in and everything on the wall, immediately to me lets you know, especially once you realize he's telling this in past tense, that these are essentially flashbacks that he's narrating to a figure who's interrogating him, that Legion is an unreliable narrator.
And that's fun in itself, because we don't know what reality is quite yet. And I maintain, and this is my spoiler maybe theory, that Lady Mastermind is Sid, and I love the play of having two people that can control reality playing in each other's minds and forging forth control.
Well, also, what
I
do
like
we think?
Well, she, theory. But she did say that she was being projected into, as opposed to I'm.
And
projecting.
She also said that she was real. So both things are kind of. I mean, I think she's Lady Mastermind.
But also with that, what do we think about the name Sid Barrett?
I mean, it's Pink Floyd.
That's Pink Floyd's frontman.
Right. It definitely
so
is
that just a cute thing because
around.
It's?
I think
or
that's
is that her
cute.
Playing around?
Yeah.
Is that a cue that she's not real and someone else has made her?
Right. I hope it's not. I don't think it's going to be it was all a dream.
I hope it's not because
it can't be.
No.
Hard out.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, everyone just might drop piece.
Exactly.
Like, so I think she is Lady Mastermind because it gives her all the power of it was all a dream without the cop out. Like, it allows for two minds to fight, and that's a beautiful thing. That's a lot of power in that. And we don't get that a lot. We get space holes. So this can be all cerebral, and it can stay here. And I love the fact that show's budget could go to production design because it was all in a hospital. Like, 90% of that show is in that one indoor location.
Yeah.
From a filmmaking standpoint, that's beautiful.
I enjoyed is that they really embrace practical effects.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Yeah, I appreciate CGI.
Yeah,
I appreciate CGI, but there's a lot that you can do with warm tones or with giving us some subliminal imaging, like in the back. We'll catch it.
And that
because
way we
we'll
can
re-watch.
Keep the show running. That way the show can live, not like budget, no budget, budget, like poor Ghost Rider.
With that, speaking of that.
Or Doctor Who.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But on that note, if you think about it, there are. Before the climax, maybe 2 special effects scenes.
That's what I mean. Everything else is practical.
Yeah, everything else is because everything else is just about perception. So you don't actually have to deal with anything. You can have the classic thing of Legion's talking to someone and then they're gone.
Right, and that beautiful quasi Shadow King just appearing was so uncomfortable.
That's what I was thinking. Like, is that
Every
Shadow
time
King?
He
is
up,
that
I was like,
or is that the Fiend?
I think Shadow Fiend only because of the more the storyline they could take it with. The Fiend's a little more obscure.
I mean, it's only 8 episodes, right?
Yeah,
right.
So I think they're
so
the big bad.
I think that they
the Fiend's
to...
a great idea. I hadn't thought of though.
Yeah, no, because I was thinking of the Fiend, which is one of Legion's. For those who don't know, one of Legion's bad personalities, who's sort of this demonic creature that
he's
kind of
like the Sentry's other.
Yeah,
the yellow-eyed demon.
The yellow-eyed demon.
He's,
so
he is a little. Mm. He is a little creature. And so that's a possibility. But of course, I mean, the classic idea, like I mentioned earlier, the Shadow King has history with Legion in the comics. And on top of that, Legion David, the whole thing is he's Xavier's son.
Right.
So
right.
if you're setting up Xavier to show up later, the Shadow King is the first enemy Xavier actually fought in the comics and became this recurring enemy.
I think they're going to keep it psychological. I think it's going to stay small, and I think that if McAvoy shows up, I'll lose my mind. We should probably move on past Legion, so spoilers are over, and get to all of the crazy casting that happened this week at the Runaways. Now, the Runaways is big. It's going to be Hulu's kind of flagship, it feels like, because they're investing a lot of incredible actors. They're doing a lot with it. It's a Marvel property, so they can go a lot with this. So they've cast all of their parents. Now, the important thing about the Runaways is the parents are kind of the core of why the children are what they are.
Yeah, because you have to think, when you have a great hero or a possibility of a hero, you have to have villains. And the best kind of villains are the ones that don't see themselves as villains.
Right.
And these parents, the Pride, definitely do not see themselves as villains. They see themselves as helping and, you know, helping themselves the way.
As much as they need to.
It's a sort of classic Lex Luthor thing of, well, I'm just the only one who gets it.
Right. Then this is a family of this. This is families of those. Now, the cast has been locked in. I'm just going to go through it quick because it's a lot of names. Anna Wershel, and I'm going to pronounce most of these wrong. I apologize in advance. I love you, actors. I can't, possibly. Anna Wershing of 24, Kip Pardue of Ray Donovan, and Rules of Attraction. If you haven't seen Rules of Attraction, Kip Pardue is incredible in that movie, and you should see it. Kevin Weissman of Alias, Bridget Brana of Army Wives, Ryan Sands of The Wire.
Wait, can you say who they are, though? So those first two?
You fool!
I just was trying to power through. You're right, I should say
no, let's take a second. So Kit Pardue and
Anna Wershling.
Anna Wershling, and they're
Leslie and Frank, the parents of Carolina Dean.
Carolina Dean. Oh, okay, Frank and Leslie Dean, the colonists. Those are the Majestanians. They're off-world traders. They're aliens, and they are powered by solar energy. They bioluminescent, and they can do concussive forces and force fields. And they're pretty. They're
very pretty.
Yeah, they're very, very pretty. They're Hollywood actors.
And that makes sense for Frank those and two Leslie that Dean. Cast them. They're those beautiful people.
They're gorgeous.
You know Runaways more than I do. You wanna run with the cast?
I don't know the people. Okay, so then I'll do the people.
Absolutely.
And I'll just do a quick little.
So then Kevin Weissman of Alias and Bridget Brana are Dale and Stacey.
Dale and Stacey.
They're
last
the parents
name?
Of Gert Yorks.
Yorks. Okay, so Dale and Stacey, they are time travelers. They're a little bit self-righteous.
Travelers are, let's face it.
Yeah, they're
everyone I've met.
they're old-fashioned. With the time traveling, they devised this 4D device that would take them through time. And along with that, I guess the best thing I could say about them, and no spoilers, the show must go on.
Ryan Sands of The Wire and Angel Parker of The People versus O.J. Simpson are Jeffrey and Catherine, the parents of Alex Wilder.
Okay, Jeffrey and Catherine Wilder, those are the thieves. They are criminal masterminds, basically very strong characters. For instance, Jeffrey Wilder you could visit him anytime in his life, and apparently his persona is one that you just really recognize with. And they're kind of the leaders of the Pride. I think if there's anyone that's leaders, it's the two of them.
Brittany Ishibashi of This Is Us and James Yagashi of Broadway's Breakfast at Tiffany's are Tina and Robert, the parents of Nika Minoru.
Okay, these are our spellcasters, magicians, dark magicians. They are extremely powerful. Depending on what they do with the Hulu series, I mean, we can have anything from like casting spells up to Dormammu, Spine of Agamotto can be possible in it, and we will most definitely see the Staff of One that Tina will be wielding, and I'm not going to say any spoilers about that.
I love how much better your definitions of these characters are than the breakdowns. Basically, like, what we have are casting breakdowns. So casting is going to be looking for the energy of the actor, not the energy of the character and the actor. So you kind of got to pick one where you're going in the room, and then the casting director will assess, and that's why casting directors need Oscar love. They build the story. The breakdowns don't allow for a lot of that, so I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Lastly,
like, for instance, for Tina Minoru, they said Tiger Mom.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, that's terrible. Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, so I appreciate you having the heart of the characters more than the little boop. Lastly, and probably with the most hype, Eva Carradine of Major Crimes and James Marsters.
Oh,
my boy.
James Marsters my is boy. In the show.
Team Spike.
I'm so excited because I'm a Whedon guy, so that's pretty exciting. They are Victor and Janet, the parents of Chase Stein.
Yes. Okay, so with Victor and Janet, these are the inventors. They're kind of like the money bags that when it comes to that. I mean, all of the couples can do their own money, but when I say inventors, I mean as in they can make their own money kind of a thing. There's a very antagonistic relationship between Victor Stein and his son Chase, and I kind of wonder how they're going to do that with Hulu. I'm not giving anything away to be like, it's aggressive. They can be aggressive with that, but there's still love there. So for the two of them, and as inventors, they invented the fistaguns that you'll see Chase wielding. That's also not a spoiler. That's everywhere. They also have a... Well, they can build a ship, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
I'm very excited for The Runaways because it is not something I dove deep into, and the mythology of it's great, and I love the concept of it, and they're clearly casting well. Those are all incredible actors. And Hulu, I'm gonna get Hulu. They did it. They got me to get Hulu.
You know, Hulu's done some good stuff, man. I mean, a few years ago.
That's great.
Yeah, a few years ago, Xander Berkeley did two seasons of a show they made called The Booth at the End, and that was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Adam Arkin directed the second season.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic show. Like, the entire thing takes place in a diner, almost entirely in one booth.
That's awesome.
And it's so dramatic and intense and fantastic. So good on Hulu.
And I noticed that we didn't say Molly Hernandez's parents, that's Gene and Alice Hernandez, formerly known as Hayes. That's because they have not been cast yet, as far as we know, up to this point.
Not publicly.
But
it's actually
us. It's
us.
Sorry. Matt Key confirms
that
it's me and Alan.
Marquee and Alan cannot make the show for a while because they'll be filming on Hulu's The Runaways.
Yeah. We'll be mutants with an intense hatred, a well-learned hatred of humans, both and also telepathic, able to sedate with that ability, and mind wipe.
So, that is your Runaway breakdown for now. That is where we are with casting. It is moving and grooving along, and we are going to let the one, the only, the Zach Wilson, have his brief moment with his love, Zach Wilson's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Minute. Here we go.
Hey, guys. It's time for another Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Minute with the voice of Doom. Real quick today. Sorry, I'm quiet. I'm on set. So last week's episode was a lot of fun. It was called Boom, and it basically featured Nitro, the Hulk villain. They didn't name him, so I guess technically Nitro is still available for the MCU to use, but the villain is out there. Like, this, one of the guys that was working for the Watchdogs turned out to be an Inhuman, so it became another self-hating guy. It was a really cool plotline. There was a lot of great sci-fi concepts at work with Ada and meeting the inspiration, the woman that he based the robot on, and what he did with her consciousness. It was fascinating. If you haven't watched it, go check it out. Tonight is the man behind the shield. It looks like we're going to get really into what happens to Mace, because he did some real bonehead stuff last week, and he's going to see the consequences of it now. Check out tonight after Buzz TV's S.H.I.E.L.D. recap, because what do we do on Valentine's Day? We talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And that was Doom.
Doom love S.H.I.E.L.D. I love his hype so much. It makes me so happy. Keeping with the MCU, the Infinity War is ramping up rapidly. There was a full trailer released basically recapping how great Marvel has been to hype us up for more Marvel.
It was fantastic.
It was amazing. I just gotten so nostalgic just being like, hype, 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 and then like reliving 9 years of just like glory. Yeah. There's a reason we do the show. It's Marvel's just, oh my God, I love the MCU.
there's so much to love.
There's so much.
And it loves us back.
It does. It listens. It loves. It cares. It's a good relationship. It listens. It's compassionate. It's a good Valentine. Marvel, thank you.
It cooks when you're tired.
It's ready for
you. It helps you embrace your joy.
Oh, it's so magical.
Your joy riot.
Your joy riot. Marvel's joy riot. So we went through the concept art of Infinity War, and we did get some little nuggets of information. Mm-hmm. We think that from this footage, Thor's wielding Jonborn. How do you say it?
Jonborn, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or Jonborn. It's with a J, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Jonborn.
So it'd been,
right. So it's Jonborn.
Jonborn.
It's like Mjolnir until...
Because J is Y.
Jonborn.
J is Y.
Like Bjorn?
Like a baby Bjorn?
Yeah. Or like Mjolnir, because of the J, it's a Y.
So,
yeah.
Yarnbjorn.
I still say we could have had a Thor movie where just they all had like like exaggerated accents.
I loved it.
Yeah,
and Loki.
I wasn't sure about Mjolnir until the movie.
Why are you threatening Earth?
And if you're not watching live, try to watch a video just so you can see Coy where he goes Yarnbjorn.
I'm gonna get to
Yarnbjorn.
Jan Bjorn. We're going to, at the end of the show, watch the new clip. There's a new clip of Thor. We're talking Infinity War now, but at the end, we do have the clip that none of us have seen because it dropped while we were prepping the show.
Exactly.
So we're going to watch it with you guys for the first time. But first, through Infinity War with Yarnbjorn.
Like you're making an IKEA product.
And then he assembled his Yarnbjorn. Theoretically, and that's the axe that...
Thank you, Sebastian.
Yes, thank you, chat. And thank you, Tim.
Are they helping me speak?
Yes.
Yes.
Good, thank you for helping me speak. Yarnbjorn. Okay, I had it kind of right. Yarnbjorn. Thor is wielding Jason Bjorn, Alex Harrow. So that is the axe, which many of you have probably seen in the comics. It's almost as iconic as Mjolnir. It's a beast of a thing, which does lead credence to the idea that he does lose Mjolnir, Ragnarok.
Right.
Now, this intrigues me because in the comics right now, there's this great run where Jane Foster is Thor, and the unworthy Thor, the son of Odin, is trying to get the ultimate Mjolnir. Right. Now, when Secret War collided, we all saw these worlds collide, and I knew there'd be ramifications, but I love the idea that the ramification is that the ultimate Mjolnir is still around, and that can be something he seeks out. And I also love, if you're reading Jessica Jones, they reference that a guy was married to a woman, and the woman suddenly lost touch with her husband because he started to think he was Norman Osborn. There's some really cool stuff building up where they're colliding these worlds, and I love that Marvel... You can't explain that in the MCU. We've had 9 movies.
No.
There's no way. But you can do, hey, he's looking for this new hammer, and everybody that's reading the comics can go... Like, it's a cool nod, it's a taste, and it looks awesome. So, Yarnbjorn is very exciting for me, because it says a lot about where Thor's going. They also confirm that the films are connected. The concept art shows him with both Thor hammers, the Yarnbjorn and the Ultimate Mjolnir. Mm-hmm. And then, most importantly in this footage for me, and I tweeted it out, you guys showed lots of love, Star-Lord and Spider-Man in a video with Downey Jr. is just so much good. Like, that's just three charm buckets in a...
Three sarcastic, bantery people.
So much.
Yeah.
Just like, half the movie's just going to be them all trying to top each other.
I would watch that. I would have an 8-hour Defenders show of them three just snarking each other.
I love that.
Like, there's so much. And we knew that, you know, because of Vin Diesel a year ago, that the Guardians were in Infinity War. And we assumed /knew Spider-Man. But to see the image of Tom Holland standing next to Chris Pratt... Next to Robert Downey Jr. That's everything. That's 9 years of hype.
And fitting. You know? It fit.
It felt right.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't feel like one guy from a space opera and a guy that builds tech and a kid.
Right.
Like, it felt like, oh, we're the Avengers.
Yeah.
So excited. That image to me was worth everything. Like, that image to me is everything build up. That, and it's just a screenshot. We have no context. We don't know what that scene was. It was behind the scenes of them talking. And that's better than a lot of movies I've seen. Because that just... it. So excited.
True.
So excited. So, Black Panther. We have a bunch of concept art that... This movie's going to be so good.
It's going to be gorgeous. I mean, just this concept art alone.
It's staggering.
Concept art, the cast.
Look at that.
Like...
Look at that.
That's Wakanda, you guys.
Yeah, The concept art that was released online, it's thanks to the featurette that was included in the Doctor Strange digital HD release. You know, it's like sneak peek of Phase 3.
It's out today.
Yeah, that's out today.
That's why like Pat a couple of hours ago.
Yeah.
He's watching Doctor Strange 12 times this 24 hours.
So the first one that you see, can you go back to the first one, Aunt Anthony? Yeah. So this first one, I mean, you can see the fusion of like Wakanda's technology along with, you know, this is an African country. This is you have some African engineering in there, and I love that it's like a meld of the both, which is Wakanda, like that's completely Wakanda. And like the next one, you'll see it has a skyline. It's kind of reminiscent of Dubois, actually. Just pictures. I haven't been yet. I would love to.
Oh, it's amazing.
I would love to.
It feels like make-believe. When you're in Dubai, it feels like things are too big and you feel like Photoshop. Like you feel like there's so much, like the airport, there's so much space till the next thing that you're like,
don't change a picture yet, please.
So if they can accomplish that scope which it looks like they're going for, then right. it'll be such a cool feel of movie.
Yeah, and I just really love here that you see it looks like part of the houses that are being built, and they have like this protective covering, but it's like the houses themselves seem very, I don't know, kind of rudimentary. I like that dichotomy that they have of the high technology and...
I mean, that's one of the great things about the mythology of Wakanda is that it's never been conquered. So any Western cultural influence is things that they decided, that's a good idea. None of it was forced onto their culture, and then it wound up as part of it. You know, it's all... And especially in the comics, T'Challa is a big part of how they even get any Western cultural influence, because he brings in the best ideas.
He's such an emissary. And then the next picture, it's a vaulted room, plate glass windows. It looks like the council room for Wakanda's tribal elders. So the next picture. Yeah.
There we go.
And I'm going to mispronounce this. The Taifa Nagayo. Maybe I got that right, but I just love like looking at this picture, and it's like the history of it. I mean, you have, and I bet it's like built out of bedrock where they have the fossils built into the wall. And then you can actually see into like, it looks like the downtown of Wakanda. I love this piece so much.
Like it all speaks to world building. Seeing scenery like this immediately is building the mythology and the world. That the Marvel Earth is not our Earth. There are cultures and events and histories that have played out there that did we not play. Seen.
Right. Exactly. And that someone in the live chat was saying there, the protective covering of the older houses in the city is them not tearing down their history, which is the power of imagery. I totally agree. That's such a great point in miscellaneous videos. Like, it does show a scope, a love of ancestry, which is huge for the Wakandans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's often a dramatic point, because there are people who challenge T'Challa and his rule. Often their argument is, you're throwing away our history.
Right.
By bringing in all this new technology and spending too much time with these Western heroes and everything. And he's constantly arguing, like, I'm not throwing away our history, but, you know, we also have to make progress and actually not just
make... We have to evolve, not just live in the past.
Right, and we can't just meet the outside world. We actually need to evolve past them.
Right, and Wakanda... Yeah. People were worried about Wakanda not showing the scope of the city, because that's such a character. I consider Wakanda as important as Black Panther.
Like with Defenders, how New York is going to be a vital... Like Luke Cage, you know, Harlem was a vital part. Wakanda's going to be... It's going
to
be a character in this entire thing. And I love that all of these pictures that we're seeing represents choice.
Right.
I mean, it's not like Alan was saying, it's not being forced on them.
Mm-hmm.
It was a choice.
Yeah.
And they choose to embrace their history, and they choose to embrace their technology. And that is gorgeous.
And we get all that from concept art. And that's how good the concept art is.
Yeah.
Like, they really some more. Show that the artist knows what we want, and they did that. And it's so clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the next picture, it's an image of a quarry. It looks like it's kind of Avatar-esque to me. It just seems like such a place of power. It's all in blue hues. You can see like rough hewn stone, and then like water trickling down effect, and you have two figures closer in the foreground. It's just very beautiful. I think it's very stylized, and it just feels luminescent. It's filled with power to me. I like that one. And then our next picture, because we're going to get to T'Challa, Black Panther. So we have him in full costume riding on top of the car. No, the one that he's on top. Okay, we'll do this one. Where there's flames going on in a jungle, and he's in kind of a silhouette. And you just kind of read all this intense emotion coming from him. It's a jungle setting. And he either started that fire, or he's about to go and get whoever started this fire. And it's very powerful. And he's got like claws drawn. You can practically feel him heaving in this concept art. Okay. And then the next picture. Actually, can we do the one where it's Black Panther on the top of the car? I'd like to keep that one for the last one. It's okay. Well, there's one you can also find it online where it's Black Panther and he's riding on top of a car, and that you know, reminds me of what we know that they're shooting in South Korea. Mm-hmm. That we know that they have that, like, the chase. Most the most cars used in a chase scene, and then, like, to have that concept art where you have Black Panther balancing on top of what looks like a speeding car. It's just like, oh, this is happening now.
All the money.
This is happening.
Here
you
go, Ryan Coogler. We saw Creed. Here's all the money.
Yeah. And then for the final picture, it's you have Black Panther. He's approaching. It's like, it's very angular. It's kind of reminiscent of like a temple or maze. It's mm-hmm. definitely going into a building of great importance. And it's got greenery growing all over it. You know that this building has been there for a very long time and has been very well cared for. And it's him standing at the entryway, and he's just looking fierce, ready, and like he's about to charge in. So I think I'm going to pop my excitement bone, you know, for this.
It's just perfect. I'm
everything's broken.
Yeah, it's real. And it's soon. I mean, relatively, it's finally coming. Like it's less than a year. So now it feels approachable.
Yes.
We're going to close out with some Thor Ragnarok concept art while we're on a concept art roll. We have a really cool image of just the, I can't wait for the battle scenes in this movie.
Yeah.
Because, like, Thor is meant to be a medieval feel. It's meant to have this, like, dark earth and just this. I mean, that to me is what I wanted to see in a Thor movie from the beginning.
Yeah. It's a Hulk going after Thor with a double-edged battle axe.
Which is very iconic from the comics. And just them two fighting is going to be so cool.
Looks like they're in an arena, so probably the gladiator arena. You know, you've got Grandmaster somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Somewhere Sam Neill and Jeff Goldblum are watching in the distance, and I can't wait.
Yeah, you can just do the next picture.
Oh, I'm so excited to see her as Hela.
So it's a picture. It looks like it's Thor and possibly Loki. I can't see with the screen that we have here.
Loki
on the, might be the left-hand side. And I always pronounce her name wrong. Hela?
Hela, I think.
Hela. Yeah. H-E-L-A. So she's there. She's looking fierce. You know, she's wearing her mantle hat, as I like to think of it. And she's drawn, and it's very smoky. You know, blurred edges, and she's just towering over Loki and then also Thor, and they're in an alleyway. It looks like it looks New Yorkish to me because I see a fire escape, so so we know that they're on Earth.
Cate Blanchett just rocking out Hela in New York is gonna be real weird again. So excited. Now, I haven't seen this. We haven't seen this. There is a part two to the magic of the Daryl and Thor saga. We're going to watch that real quick with you guys, and then we're going to do some shout-outs at the very end, especially since it's Valentine's Day. But first, we're going to watch this minute clip that none of us have seen with you guys.
Pay rent with these things. One's a pumpkin, and these Asgardian coins, they're not worth anything.
In Asgard, these coins are worth gazillion human dollars, okay? There's a gazillion. You're rich. There's a gazillion. Gazillion, gazillion, gazillion.
No one will exchange these.
Go to the market, set up a store, right?
Yeah.
Asgardian ware. Previously owned by Thor. I'm a celebrity. That will sell like hotcakes.
You might need to think about getting a job.
Get a job? Serious?
Yeah.
I have a job. Do you know what my job is? I save the planet.
Yeah.
Maybe you should get a job.
I have a job.
Really? Hitting the machine with the words that come out of it. Oh, this is knowledge. Knowledge is power. No, it's not. Knowledge is not power. That's power. The brain is a muscle, and that's a muscle, and that's a muscle. They are all muscles. This is all muscle. So I am covered in brains, and I have more brains than you.
So do you think maybe we could just think
about... I think we need a servant.
I don't think we can get a servant.
We should get a servant.
I don't think we can
settled. We're getting a servant.
Marvel's
Doctor
Strange.
Yes!
Oh, I love it so much.
Yes.
Oh, that was great.
That was awesome.
That was great.
Oh, man. We're getting a servant. Excited.
Did you say servant or serpent?
Servant.
And then he rides away like Tyler Durden in the bike. Oh, man.
Riding the bike
inside. So excited. So excited for this movie.
Oh, that movie's gonna be so great.
So much meat and Thor. Oh man, yeah, that's gonna be the best Thor movie, you guys. If it's anything like these weird clips we've gotten, that's gonna be the best Thor movie. I'm so excited for that madness. Yeah.
Wow. A bazillion human dollars.
Right, a sign was previously owned by Thor.
Right.
Oh man, I'm so excited. Before we go, I want to give some shout outs, and we have a Funko moment.
Yeah, we do. Actually, our Funko Pop moment is brought to us by Haiku Eli 575 at Comics Guy. He's like, here's my new Funko The Crew.
Those are awesome.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, so he's got just about I'm not going to say everybody. He's got Storm, he's got Black Panther, he's got Nick Fury, and I can't see is that War Machine up there on the left? Yeah. And, wait, who's that to the right? I thought I knew who that was.
Isn't that Falcon?
Oh, that's an interesting looking Falcon. I like that Falcon.
At the top? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of his original. It's like his second outfit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like he's rocking it. Oh. So, yeah, thank you for that Funko Pop moment. Those are super cute. And he says, I want to add Misty if made. Don't we all?
Yeah. It'll happen. After the success of Luke Cage and the upcoming Defenders, that is definitely a thing.
But I believe you have a Valentine's Day sexy shout out.
Two very important shout outs. First, I want to give a very sexy shout out to, I believe, the man who started the sexy shout out.
So
this might be the 2-year anniversary of the sexy shout out and
oh,
the
goodness.
40th birthday of Johnny C. Blaze.
Ooh.
Johnny Storm, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Johnny.
We love you, man. Much love to all of your OG habits in this show. We very much appreciate you. Mm-hmm. And then a new, very frequent live chatter and a voice of positivity. I think it's L. Chance IV.
Ooh, hey, baby.
That's a tricky name, but
Not too tricky for us.
I need an IV after I dehydrated me last night, L. Chance.
Oh, goodness.
And, I don't know how many years you are, but they've been enough and they've shaped you well. And happy birthday.
You're lovely and mature, baby.
So happy birthday, Johnny C. Blaze and L. Chance, and we'll see you next year.
Yes, we will.
Do we have any more shout-outs?
Pull it together, man.
I'm still giggly from Thor. We should have done the sex shout-outs pre-Thor, because the Thor made me so giddy. Then the idea of like, oh, yeah.
We can do a sexy shout-out to Thor.
Oh, Thor, baby. I got brains all over my body.
Worth a bazillion. There you go.
You're worth a bazillion dollars to me, baby. That was quite the end of the show. I want to say to everyone, have a very happy Valentine's Day. Spend it with people you love. Spend it with friends. Spend it with family. And then tomorrow, go buy all the chocolate that's 60% off. That is what the holiday's about. Do you guys have anything you want to plug before we take off?
Well, I say, you know, love for love's sake. The holiday's about love, not necessarily a certain type of it. So just love. Love with all your heart and love full bodily.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, what else can you say? All you need is love. Love lifts us up where we belong, you know. Love is a many splendored thing. You know?
Alan just proceeds to quote songs for the next hour. Just like, love is all you need.
You know, do you believe in life after love? tell me, Koi. Let's get into this.
I mean, all we need is love.
Yeah.
Alice, for the way you look at me.
It began as a Hallmark holiday.
I get knocked down, then I get up again.
Just ran out of love. At like five songs, we ran out of love. Out of the millions of love songs, you're like, no, let's go straight to Chumbawamba. Yeah, let's just transition real quick. Yeah.
It's like, perfect. Yeah.
Oh, man. It began as a Hallmark holiday, but I think love is most important now in these dark times, and yes. We need to make sure that love over hate wins.
Actually, speaking of that, Chris Evans had that.
My God, Chris Evans is Captain America.
Chris Evans, the other day, David Duke got on him for being out and about in the town with some beautiful women who are not white, and David Duke was trying to shame him on that and talk about why does he hate his own people, hashtag white genocide. And Chris Evans, being the actual Captain America, somehow just said, you know, I don't hate. That's your way. My way is love. And he even said, you know, Reach out for love yourself. I believe that it's down there underneath all the anger and fear.
And I couldn't agree. I couldn't agree more. I mean, that's
a message for the world.
Chris Evans is Captain America, and the way he handles himself on Twitter and public and everything else is a deity. Love prevails, and I think it's important that we all embody that every day, not just on Valentine's Day, but on a day where we can cheesily embody it. And I love cheese. We just go for it, lean into it, be as cheesy as you want, and tell everybody how much you love them, because you don't know when it's the last time. So on that note, we will see you guys next week. And this has been Marvel Movie News.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.